learn to trust the journey even when you don't understand it. Thank you, Mila Bron. Hello, and welcome to our very first episode of Little Dumpling Talks.
Welcome, guys.
Now, I'm sure you're all wondering, what is Little Dumpling Talks and what's it all about? Well, Little Dumpling was created to be a safe space for those who have dealt with infertility in some way, shape or form. It's a community for those who have been trying and or struggling to start a family, whether you've been through it yourself, whether you're going through it currently, or whether or not you're about to start or embark on this journey. It's hopefully a place for support, guidance, and feeling a little less alone, because let's face it, this journey can be very lonely.
I agree. And just by adding talks to Little Dumpling, we've kind of created a podcast series to do just that.
Talk.
Exactly. Talk about our personal journey, the process, or the trials and tribulations of this crazy journey to starting a family.
We could also say that it's a way to kind of explain to those who have been asking us loads of questions, as well as wondering whether or not this chapter of our lives is going to start soon. Because coming from a Chinese background, there are a lot of questions.
Definitely a lot.
Also, I guess you can say it's a little therapy session for us too.
Yes, I definitely agree. I think therapy is always needed.
Always.
And, you know, we've had a few people in our circle who don't necessarily understand the process.
Understandable.
Yeah, exactly. And this is just our way of explaining, you know, kind of what we've been going through, how we've been feeling about the whole process. And apart from that, I mean, the other main reason that we've wanted to really do this is, I mean, the overarching goal, you could say, about for Little Dumpling is to kind of give back, especially to those who need it.
Yeah.
And by doing so, we're going to be working really hard to provide grants to some of our lovely supporters.
We know how much of a burden it can be financially, so please do stay tuned for that, as there is a lot more to come regarding grants and how we plan to give back. But this journey of ours did not start from here. So to kick off this episode, should we take it back a bit and share a little bit about our history and where this all started? We'll be brief-ish, as brief as we can, as we will be diving into more detail throughout the episodes to come. But to begin, my name is Susan.
And my name is Dominic. And our friendship began at a very young age. We met at a martial arts class in London. That's where we're based. And we started dating in high school. We're now in our mid to late 30s and have been together for over 20 years. Married for over 10, and our journey to starting a family began around 9 years ago.
Yes. So for me individually, I was diagnosed with PCOS from my late teens, and from my late 20s had hyperthyroidism and just kind of dealt with the symptoms of those throughout those years. Along with Western medicine, we went through a period of also going down the holistic route too, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, fast forward to when we decided to start a family, I guess, you know, you could say the first couple of years, it was more of a kind of see what happens type of thing. You know, we didn't really plan anything. Nothing was definitely booked in, no marked calendars.
Yeah, whatever happens kind of happens.
Exactly. Just leave it up to fate.
Yeah.
And we quickly started realizing, you know, some things either not as easy as we thought it would be, especially, you know, when you're in school, you know, you get taught, if you don't wear contraception, you're going to get pregnant. That's right. And so, of course, as soon as we started, well, for me anyway, I'll speak on my behalf. As soon as we stopped using contraception, I thought, okay, you know, it should happen anytime soon, you know, pretty quickly. But I must say, nothing happened the way we planned. We just then decided, okay, let's get ourselves checked out. And from then on, planning was put into place. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you know, ovulation sticks, apps, the whole shebang, and Susan was put on Clomid, but
no luck.
Yeah,
still no luck with Clomid. And 4 years on, we ended up on the wait list for IVF. When I talk about the wait list, I'm talking about NHS. As Dom mentioned earlier, we are based in the UK, so the NHS is our national health service, which is publicly funded healthcare system in England. So we were put on the wait list for that. Then in 2019, we miraculously fell pregnant.
Woohoo!
However, that ended up in a very horrible trip to the hospital as we suffered an ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah, and I mean, just to kind of get a little bit of context, what an ectopic pregnancy is. So an ectopic pregnancy is essentially where a fertilized egg implants itself outside of the uterus. So typically it's in the fallopian tubes and it can be life-threatening. So that was also the other kind of scary thing that was added to all the types of emotions that we were going through at that time.
Yeah, having come from a very high positive to a very low point.
Yes.
And from this, I guess, yes, I was rushed to the hospital. I had a salpingectomy because of this. As Dom mentioned, it can be implanted in a fallopian tube, which was exactly what happened with me. And the salpingectomy is just the removal of a fallopian tube. So I had one removed. I will say, though, that due to this, I reckon that bumped us up the wait list.
Yeah, I think so.
Because what followed was like a string of so many tests and multiple hospital appointments, multiple surgeries, including a polypectomy, which is removal of polyps, hysteroscopies, dye tests. I think this time as well, Dom, you had some testing done, or you had other testing done on top of what you had already.
Yeah, so I think from here I had some analysis done, semen analysis done. And again, you know, that was a very strange experience, which we'll touch upon on later episodes. But again, it was the first one came back saying there were some issues. So, of course, you know, that kind of freaked us out. And then we didn't, I did another one, retested. They said everything was fine.
And then I think you did a third for just safety precautions or something like that, or further tests.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, men are slightly different in the sense that the sperm gets renewed over different cycles or set periods of time, whereas, you know, for women there is a set ovarian reserve from birth. So that's why, you know, you can have one test and everything looks terrible, and then the next test that you do, everything looks okay.
Correct, yeah. Hence the saying, a ticking time bomb in inverted commas, which I can totally relate to more so now.
yeah, definitely. Very relatable. And I think for us, eventually and pretty quickly, I would say, you know, we had a date to start IVF. Yeah. So we were super excited. Another woohoo!
Woohoo!
And after so long, so many tests for Susan, it felt like we were progressing in a, you know, taking a big step closer.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. Yes. So it was a 2-year delay, and I think Zin, you mentioned you got the letter.
Yes, oh gosh, I remember the letter that we received, and I read it out to you, and it said something along the lines of, you know, apologies, but we're cancelling all our appointments due to this until further notice. And having kind of been through that whole process and being put on the wait list and kind of being positive and excited about something like this, it was just a big disappointment. But then we sat and we spoke about all those other people who were going through the process, and probably within mid-process and having done the meds and the injections and going through, you know, all their appointments. And
yeah, crazy.
It just stopped.
Yeah.
So once life eventually restarted, we began our first cycle of IVF, finally. The doctors chose at this stage to freeze our embryos for transfer, and we did this protocol via ICSI, which is a direct insemination into the egg. And, you know, we were at that stage where we were thinking, oh my gosh, we're close to the finishing line. We finally hear, you know, all the stories of IVF helping so many different people.
Yeah.
It was just a surge of positivity and optimism and potentially being where we wanted to be.
Exactly.
However, we ended up with failed transfers and further miscarriages.
That was, not a good time. I think, like you said, it was the first transfer, you know, we kind of were on a high, and then obviously that didn't work out well. And then you're always positive about the next one, right? Always thinking, okay, it's going to be good news.
Just a rough kind of outline of numbers in this situation is, you when you do your IVF cycle, it's the amount of eggs that get taken from you. It's the amount of eggs that are mature, and then from the mature eggs, it's the amount of eggs that get fertilized, and then from those fertilized eggs, those will result in the number of transfers you will have. So again, apologies, it is quite a lot to take in. If you're not aware of it, we will go into a lot more detail
definitely
throughout the episodes. But on a positive note, we managed to clear ourselves from kind of any red flags that we may have had or which would have been worrying from the genetic testing that we did.
Yeah, exactly. And that happened on the last embryo that
the final one,
yeah, of our first IVF cycle. So of course, after the last transfer of that embryo, we had no more left. And so we really kind of found ourselves at a point where, you know, we'd finished our first cycle. Unfortunately,
it didn't go very well.
And that's where we kind of took a moment to think long and hard as to, you know, whether a second chance was in the plans for us. And, you know, we decided, yes, you know, it was. We wanted to, you know, try again. And so at the beginning of the year 2024, you know, we prepared ourselves. I think the correct word would be endure, especially for you.
Yes, endure.
Another round of IVF. And this time, though, the doctors decided, okay, rather than doing a frozen cycle or transfer, to do a fresh transfer. So, of course, we were like, okay, this is great, optimistic, something different. And purely, we think this was because Susan avoided OHSS. This always trips me off. So it's ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
All right. On the last cycle, and that's always a concern for the doctors because, of course, that can be, again, life-threatening.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. It can be. I mean, it's a pretty bad thing to kind of go through if you do
very
end
painful.
Up having it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very, very lucky to avoid that, especially with being diagnosed with PCOS, which I'm actually not sure I mentioned what it stood for.
Yeah, not sure. Yeah.
So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. Just basically means there are loads of cysts on your ovaries. Mm. And the process of IVF is essentially through all your medications is to kind of stimulate the ovaries. Mm. Not the ovaries. It's kind of stimulate your follicles, mm-hmm. to make sure that your follicles grow, and within each follicle should potentially and hopefully have an egg. Mm-hmm. So sometimes going through all the medications, going through everything, it can produce a little bit too much stimulation. And with too much stimulation can cause problems. So hence why you would want to try and avoid, the doctors would want to try and avoid the patient having OHSS.
Yeah.
So yes, I did avoid all that. And like Dob said, we went through the process again, the injections, all the medications. We went through the main retrieval, which is always a bit scary because you're hoping for the best. Mm. Retrieval meaning the retrieval of the eggs.
Yeah.
But again, bad news. We ended up failing at an earlier stage this time. Mm. We ended up having absolutely no eggs to transfer.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, as Susan mentioned, this is just a very kind of brief history. And, you know, we'll be going into more detail about it in the coming episodes about follicles, eggs, maturity, fertilization, and so on.
So much to cover.
So much to cover. And so yes, I mean, after two rounds of IVF, having not worked for us, we weren't necessarily sure how we were feeling.
Yeah, I think it's a very difficult thing to understand. You know, even for people who have been through it as well, I think everybody's journey is different. It is very much a numbers game. It's really just making sure that things match up. And it can be really disheartening when you hear, you know, multiple numbers throughout the whole process, throughout your hospital appointments, that things aren't really where it should be. So it does kind of get in your headspace and it does make things a little bit more difficult. And so through all of that, I guess that kind of brings us here today. You know, we've had two rounds of IVF, one resulting in embryos that were frozen, that were transferred, that had failed transferred, that had implanted, which led to miscarriages. And then the second, having no eggs at all.
Yeah.
No embryos at all, I should say. So we've had a long chat about kind of where our next step should be, trying to figure out whether or not it was something that we wanted to continue. It was something that we wanted to just say, look, we've had a good fair share of trying and figuring out, is this really what it's supposed to be? We've also had long talks with our doctors and basically have concluded, I have to sigh for it, that we are going to take one final chance and put that in the plan.
Yeah.
Why? Why are we doing this again? Why are we considering yet another crazy roller coaster ride?
Yeah, I think it really, in essence, you know, I think we really felt that we weren't quite ready to give up yet.
Yeah.
You know, I think mentally, emotionally, it's a very tough pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for us, you know, having talked about it, it is very, very heavy on you. And I think, you know, that's the downside. And of course, you know, it's like you said earlier, it's very much a time game. You know, time is not on our side.
No, it definitely isn't on our side.
It's hard, especially when you're put in that position. You know, for those of you that are listening that have also been in this position as well, it's a difficult, you know, position to be in, knowing that, okay, you may not have another chance, or this may be your final chance. You know, and also I think if you're not quite ready to give up the idea of possibly having children of your own, especially, you know, when you're seeing other people, friends, family, people around you, you know, starting that chapter of their lives,
yeah,
you know, growing and starting a family. I guess, you know, I think we really didn't want to regret the decision, especially if we felt that we weren't 100% ready to close
absolutely
that chapter. Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose we made the decision based on the fact that if we didn't do it one more time, or if we didn't give it a potential shot, would we regret it? Mm. Like, I think if the last cycle had gone differently,
yeah,
I think our outcome might have been different.
I agree.
But because we almost felt cheated.
Yeah, there wasn't even an option,
cheated,
right? Yeah.
From it having potential embryos to transfer, I think we didn't feel like our last cycle was our conclusion.
Yeah, we definitely felt cheated, I think.
Yeah, and also, you know, having multiple conversations with the doctors, you know, they also gave us a little bit of reassurance. Yes, okay, age is not on my side. So my ovarian reserve is diminishing. And once you pass a certain age, especially being in your late 30s, it does decline quite quickly. So yes, that is a factor that potentially your IVF cycles won't go according to plan at the moment because your ovarian reserve is diminishing.
Yeah.
However, you know, blood tests and your AMH levels have suggested that you are, you know, I am in normal range. So that kind of gives us a little bit of hope that, yeah, they might potentially be the other side of what the doctors are saying, which is it could just very well be, in layman's term, bad luck.
Yeah, they were saying sometimes you're lucky. It could
correct
be a bad month.
Could be a bad month. You could have had, you know, higher stress levels than it would before. The medication didn't necessarily respond. We did a different protocol this time round with our IVF cycle. So
maybe that doesn't sit well.
Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of think there was loads of other factors that came to our decision. We just didn't sit here and go, oh my gosh, let's endure this one more time. Mm-hmm. There was other factors that we considered.
Yeah.
But also, I suppose, keeping the idea at the back of our mind that we know, because this is a couple of years now down the line from our first IVF,
yeah,
it may turn out like the second. You know, it could very well be the case where it's now getting to that age where things may not necessarily go well. So that was something that we did take into consideration whilst making that decision.
Exactly. No, I agree. So, I mean, you know, how are you feeling now about this whole situation?
Oh gosh, how long do you have? I don't know. I guess a mixture of various different emotions, anxiety, a little bit of frustration, a bit of disappointment. I mean, disappointment not having started yet, but disappointment knowing that we're going to be disappointed at some stage or another.
Yeah.
Again, financial burden is one. It just gets very expensive, especially when you're having several cycles. But at the same time, maybe just like a little bit more hope, maybe determination, very, very high in gratitude.
It's a roller coaster, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, you can feel one of these emotions a day, or
all of them.
Five of them, exactly, yeah, all of them a day. So it is kind of, you know, other than the fact that I don't deal with hormonal medication very well, that will be the theme throughout this entire podcast. But you know what? I'm holding on to hope. I'm holding on to hope. I think if we didn't take this final chance, I think I'd somewhat be a bit disappointed in myself.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, very similar to you in the sense of there's always a mixture of emotions. You know, for me, I'm not very well, not very good at communicating how I'm feeling on a, in general anyway. So, but I think anxiety for sure is one of the main kind of feelings. Yeah, even on the last cycle, you know, just we've been through pretty much everything before. But even, I think for me anyway, I very much feel like useless a lot of the time because you're kind of sitting there.
No, don't say that.
You know, it's true because you're, you know, for me, I was either waiting in the waiting room for you or kind of just sitting by your side, you know, looking whilst you're having scans and stuff. And you're kind of very much the, you know, the spare part. And I think because you can't do anything, nothing's in your control with all of this. It's all very much, you know, it's, as the doctor said, luck. Obviously, there are things that you can do to influence, you know, how things go, you know.
But it's not guaranteed.
Exactly. You could be the healthiest X, Y, and Z, and, you know, it still won't go well. So, yeah, I think that is one of the frustrating things because, you know, there is a lack of control, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm just going back to what you said. You give me injections. So when you're home, you give me injections. Okay, I give myself injections when you're not home. But the times that you are, you do. You're involved in it as well.
That is true.
Yes, slightly different.
Yeah.
But don't.
Yeah, but then you're down. Then you're anxious giving the injections. It's about, okay, is it the right angle? Is it this? Is it that? Oh gosh, I know. But you know, I think. Yeah, there's so many emotions, and I think we'll aim to kind of tackle those in the upcoming episodes because it's a lot to kind of digest and even talk through it in just one episode. So for us, I think, you know, we're starting this final ride. We'd love to navigate this with you guys and, you know, please bear with us. We're not ones to
open up to an audience.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly what I was trying to say.
And share something kind of so personal.
100%.
And close to home for us. So, but we will do our best.
We'll do our best. Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
try.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah,
you know, I think the whole point of Little Dumpling was basically to reach out to people, whether it's those who, like mentioned before, just want to feel a little less alone, a little bit a part of something. So that's our experience personally for us going through this over the last few years. It's just wanting to be around other people who are kind of going through similar situations, trying to navigate this so we don't feel as if we're by ourselves.
Yeah.
And on top of that is like loads of people have questions. I think infertility sometimes can be a very taboo subject.
Yeah.
I think now going into, you know, the modern age, modern age being my parents before had no idea what IVF really entailed.
Yeah.
But like going into things now, I think it's a little bit more known, a little bit more common.
Yeah.
I think people just need to be a little bit more exposed and aware of things. So I'm hoping that that's something that we can kind of instill and hopefully, you know, learn through others what this journey kind of looks like. But either way, you know, we are incredibly grateful that you're joining us on this journey. And again, thank you if you've made it this far.
Yes.
We do look forward to our future episodes together.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, as we mentioned before, Little Dumpling really is based around a community. So, you know, please let us know any topics that you'd like to talk about.
Please do. Yeah. Questions you may have.
And we'll do our best to answer them. Again, you know, we're not doctors. We're not healthcare professionals. This is just
our personal experience.
Yeah. So everything will be different, but we'll try our best to give, you know, an honest answer, you know, from our perspective. But please do send in your stories. You know, we'd really like to hear them.
We'd like to, if you're willing to share them as well.
Yeah.
I think there are loads of people out there just needs a little bit of hope to hold on to. And sometimes reading stories, I know personally for me as well, having read through other people's stories, it's just a little bit of positivity.
It
gives you a little bit more strength and optimism going through it.
Yeah, because I think your mental headspace going through this journey is just really key, you know.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So there's loads of different ways that you can get in touch. We'll put the notes on how to do that in the show notes. You can either send a voice note, or if you're a little bit more shy, you can just send a little message over in an email. Please feel free to reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. There are no stupid questions and there are no silly stories.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We shall see you in our next one.
Yes, we shall.
Bye.
Bye.